I encourage you to take your Bibles tonight and let's turn together to Revelation chapter 13. I'm going to conclude my series that I have been doing on signs of the mark of the beast. And I hope and pray that it has been some measure of instruction that you can take with you that will help you in understanding this passage of Scripture. I'm going to read again beginning at verse 11 through the end of the passage in Revelation chapter 13 as we consider this very important unraveling, if you would, of the whole emphasis of the mark of the beast. And we're going to actually go into chapter 14 tonight and look there at the continuation through verse 5 that will help us to summarize where we have been, where we're going in our study of the mark of the beast. Beginning at verse 11, "And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon, and he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast." Now this is important. This whole idea, the concept of the image of the beast, is introduced here in the book of Revelation. And that's in addition to the person of Antichrist. There's this image of him. What does that mean? Where does that come from? What's the purpose of that? They are to worship at this image. This is important to see. "Which had the wound by a sword and did live." That's the second reference to his resurrection from this deadly wound. "And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bound, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads." That word "causeth" there is the idea that he gave them the choice. He didn't have to deceive them. He just gave them, "If you want to survive in this world, you're going to have to take the mark. If you want to buy, sell, trade, take the mark. If you want to have the blessing of the Antichrist upon you, take the mark." And so he caused them to come to the place where they would take the mark of the beast. Verse 17, "And that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name." Here is wisdom. "Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666." Verse 1 of chapter 14, "And I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on the Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his father's name written in their foreheads." Now back in chapter 7, we were told about the 144,000 who were sealed. Now we see in chapter 14 that this 144,000, which we are told in this passage, are male virgins. They've never known a woman. They've never been married. And they are pure before God, 12,000 from each one of the tribes of Israel. And now we see them standing before the Lord on Mount Zion, and they have His name written where? Or a seal placed where? In their foreheads. And so now we see the other side, this 144,000, they have some type of seal. It's not the same word that's used for mark. Karagma is the Greek word, and that means an etching of some sort or a special mark. This is a seal that's in their foreheads. And this indicates that they are protected of God. They have been shielded and protected, and they're able to communicate the message of the gospel. "And I heard a voice from heaven," verse 2, "as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of a great thunder. And I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps. And they sung, as it were, a new song before the throne, and before the four beasts and the elders, and no man could learn that song, but the 144,000 which were redeemed from the earth." So they sing this special song. These are they which were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being the firstfruits unto God and to the Lamb. And in their mouth was found no guile, for they are without fault before the throne of God. What a picture of this group of witnesses that are sealed to communicate the gospel message during this time of horrendous events, the unfolding of the breaking of the seven seals, and then you see the seven trumpets sound, and then you see the seven bowls of wrath. And during this time, these witnesses are out sharing the gospel, and they're shielded and protected from any harm coming to them. And we see them on Mount Zion, pictured in the future, as individuals who kept themselves pure for the Lord Jesus Christ. They were faithful in their calling, communicating, and the seal is mentioned here upon their foreheads, different totally from that which was given by the Antichrist. Totally different. This is Christ's seal. What a picture. Satan spends all of his time trying to duplicate God. Satan has never veered from his methods. The Bible says that we are not ignorant concerning his devices. His wiles are the same. And so what does he seek to do? He seeks to duplicate. He's got his group with their seal and their foreheads, which number into the millions and maybe even the billions. And then there's 144,000 that had the seal of God upon their foreheads. And they're able to communicate, protected of God in the midst of all the mayhem and the chaos that will be upon this earth. What a witness and testimony of God's sustaining grace in a very vile time in human history. Father, I pray that you'd open our hearts to your word right now, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I began with you last time some of the signs, and we got through, I think, three of them. And so I want to pick up this evening with number four as we get into this. But before we do that, I want you to look at all the things that we just read about concerning the false prophet. I want to review those again, because this is a powerful worship leader that draws the attention of the world and the people of the world to one individual, and that's the Antichrist. And he is so powerful that he is able to sway their hearts and minds to receive the mark of the beast. By the way, it's also called the mark of his name. So there's a name, there's a number associated with that name, and there is a mark that identifies him. And he is able to sway the world. Those who refuse to receive the mark, they're martyred. They die. Their blood is shed. Everyone that takes the mark are forever sealed in their doom. And we're going to read some of those verses tonight. We see that the false prophet will be of some kind of ethnic Middle Easterner, evidently from that region of the world, since he will arise out of the earth or land that is Palestine, verse 11, next to the Mediterranean Sea. He will be influential primarily in religious affairs. He will be motivated and empowered by Satan. By the way, don't ever think that Satan thinks he's defeated. Not for one minute does he think he's a defeated creature. Now, the cross of Jesus Christ took care of him forever. But the action of that work is still waiting. Just like the action of your salvation is still waiting for the day when you get a new body and you're delivered out of this body of death, Satan is still working and he is still powerful. And Satan is going to seek to deceive the world to turn against Christ. Satan empowers Antichrist and empowers the false prophet. That is the false trinity. So don't ever think that Satan is somehow powerless. He has no power. Oh, he does. He has tremendous power. So, verse 12 tells us that he will promote the worship of the first beast and compel the earth to worship the first beast as what? As God. As the Christ. The master manipulator and duplicator comes up and says, this one is the Christ. He's the promised Messiah. Christos is the word that's associated with anti. Christos. using the very name of Jesus Christ, the Messiah. His ministry will be authenticated by signs and miracles that he will do, evidently proving that he is the Elijah that was to come. And the Jewish people will remember that promise that was made at the end of Malachi, speaking about the fact that Elijah would come again. And who do they think that the false prophet is? He's the Elijah. Look at the miracles he's doing. He's bringing down fire from heaven. What prophet did that by God's power and grace? Elijah. You see the miracles and the signs that are associated with him in verses 13 and 14. Let me draw your attention back to those again. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles that are performed, which he had power to do in the sight of the beast. Where does he get that power to do that? He gets it from Satan. Does Satan have great power at this very moment? What does the Bible say in Ephesians chapter 6? We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against what? Spiritual wickedness in high places. And then it goes on to talk about the workers of darkness. Spiritual iniquity. Where does that come from? In high places. It comes from Satan. Satan has great power. Not only the power that he kept after he was removed from heaven, but he also stole the power that was given to Adam in the garden. Adam had tremendous authority and power that was given unto him. And he wrested that from him whenever he deceived Eve and sin entered into the world. What did he become the prince and power of? The air. Adam had that power. We don't often think about the first Adam and the great power that he had and the great intellect and the capacity to be able to do things. As we're sitting here right now, you are emitting electronic signals from your brain. Apple Computer Company is working right now on ways to be able to channel wirelessly thoughts of human beings because our brains work on a wireless capability. Now think about what that was like before the fall. Before the image of God and likenesses were damaged and marred by the fall, what could he do? What things could he do that we don't know about? I know this, that we only use a portion of what we are capable of doing. What might Adam and Eve been able to do that we cannot do? Satan wrested through deception and manipulation that authority from Adam, and he acts in that capacity today. He has great power, and we need to understand that we need to have our sword, the Word of God, and we need the shield of faith, and we need the helmet of salvation, and we need our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and we need the breastplate of what? Righteousness. Doing right. Because that's what Christ does. His righteousness is always doing right. So we need to be thoroughly prepared. Who are we going to war against? Each other? Not supposed to. Who are we going to war against? Against spiritual wickedness in high places. Paul puts it another way in 2 Corinthians 10 and verses 4 and 5. We're to be casting down vain imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against God. We're warriors. We're soldiers. We're not supposed to be in this world on vacation. We're not sitting on a beach sipping our sweet tea. We're supposed to be busy. We're in a war. There's evil in the world inspired by Satan himself. Even though the cross has forever defeated him, he doesn't think so. And he still has great, great power, as demonstrated in the book of Revelation. The power that he gives to Antichrist and that he gives to the false prophet allows them to be able to do miracles and deceive the nations. Let's go on. He will be successful in deceiving an unbelieving world The worship he will promote will be idolatrous, image-focused worship. And that's what's fast happening in the world, an image-focused worship. I don't know what all that entails. I think that perhaps it has something to do with our devices, has something to do with artificial intelligence, because everybody is doing it. Everybody's doing it. When you go to a restaurant and you see people sitting at a booth, what are they doing? They're on their devices. What about old-fashioned just talking with each other? Could we start doing that? It's just amazing. We are enamored with our devices. Now they have smart rings. Did you know that? They've got smart rings that will communicate with your phone to let you know about your heart rate and every part of your cycles and your body and all that kind of stuff. If you have a brainwave, I said singular, brainwave. Some of us don't have more than one. But, you know, smart rings, where's all this stuff going? Christian, think about that word, image. Image. What all does that mean? I don't pretend to know. Yeah. And things change with the times. I mean, poor Henry Kissinger died at 100. He was the Antichrist for 80 years. Everybody called him the Antichrist. Remember that? I remember some evangelists that came and said, he's the Antichrist. You know, no, he wasn't. He's dead. Now, he did some awful things. He did some things that were not right, obviously. But he wasn't the Antichrist. Things change. Could it be AI? Could it be the rise of technology in the world where we're easily manipulated? Where you're actually talking to somebody in a conversation and your phone's listening and the next thing you know, there comes all the ads of the things you were just talking about. Have you made the connection yet? It's tying it all together. He will have authority in the economic realm as pictured in Revelation 18 to control commerce. One world commerce system, and Antichrist's right hand, the false prophet, is going to be involved with that. Here, religion and government are not separate, but one. And that's what we're seeing in the world, where religion and government are joining hand to hand. Not the kind of religion that we would think, not Christianity, that's being pushed out, but religion in general is starting to coalesce around government. How's that going to work out? He will have a mark that will establish his identity for those who will live in that day, verse 18, the number of the beast. So that's the review of chapter 13. Number four, sign of the mark of the beast, virtual reality. I really don't say much anymore other than the fact that it seems that the reference six times to image in Revelation 13, the worship of the image seems to indicate that there is some type of image, not in the sense of a carving that everybody bows down to, but something that's empowered, that produces miraculous type things. We are witnessing in this world the rise of AI and its ability to do things, fly aircraft, diagnose ahead of time issues. They're showing this happening right now with AI, artificial intelligence, being able to predict things about you from cell structure given to it. Amazing things are happening. Does that all tie in? I personally think so. That's just my opinion, though. What does that word image mean? That's going to be key going forward into the future. The Antichrist and the false prophet will use some form of virtual reality to convince millions of people all around the world in remote places who have access to what? You know what I was shocked about when I was in Haiti in 2010? They had better cell coverage than we have in Santa Rosa County. There are still places in Santa Rosa County you can go and you don't have a cell signal. We were out at Adventures Unlimited, for Pete's sake. I didn't have a cell signal. There's other places. And yet in Haiti, everywhere I went, I had a cell signal. I don't understand it. Digicel, though, Chinese, had been in there and put towers all over the island, and they sold these cell phones for 10 bucks. And they had full everything. Amazing. In a world that had so little money, they're able to access the world and know what's going on. So even in places where you would think, oh, they don't know what's going on, they will. They will. Let's move on. All seven instances of the word for mark or sign, keragma, in the Greek. By the way, that word keragma in the Greek is a transliteration of the Latin. And it's the idea of the imperial seal of the Roman Empire. I found that very interesting. Keragma was a word that they borrowed in the Roman Empire to talk about the official seal of the Roman Empire. And what do we have the rise in the very end time? The feet of clay mixed with iron? The revived Roman Empire. That's all part of this whole thing with the false prophet. Every reference to keragma is found in the book of Revelation. Every one of them. And they refer to the mark of the beast or the mark of his name. I find this interesting. In chapter 14, if you'll look at verses 9 through 11, in this passage, we didn't read it, but we'll look ahead. And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, "If any man worship the beast and his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, that same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of God. And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever. And they have no rest day or night who worship the beast and his image." And what else? "And receiveth the mark of his" what? "Name." The mark of his name. All three of those are mentioned over in chapter 13. In verse 17. "And no man shall buy or sell save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name." Three aspects that are tied in with this mark. We're going to move along here. Time is almost gone. Revelation 16, Revelation 19 all say that people who receive the mark are doomed. They will spend all eternity in the lake of fire. Don't take the mark. As a Christian, you won't be here, so you won't take the mark. But there will be countless people saved during the period of time known as the tribulation. Thousands will be saved, and they will not take the mark, and they will have their blood shed. Many of them will lose their heads. Many of them will die in unimaginable ways, and they will go directly under the throne of God, the Bible says, where the martyrs go, and they cry out for vengeance. And Jesus says, "I will avenge your souls. I will avenge your blood." Revelation 20, 1 through 4, if you look down at the latter part, verse 4, "And I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands." You see the different aspects of all of this? They did not worship the beast, neither his what? His image. There's that image again. "Neither received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. They are resurrected, and they will rule and reign with Jesus Christ for 1,000 years. What a beautiful picture here of those that die, but Jesus gives them a place of prominence in the future. Number 5, global government control of every aspect of life. And we've already touched on these. But I want you to look down here toward the end. Indoctrination will be universal. What's the difference between teaching and indoctrination? Teaching is supposed to be sharing what is true. Indoctrination is sharing what we want them to know. It may be true. It may be truth mixed with something else, or it may be totally error. In this case, it's total error. Indoctrination. The United States Constitution will be done away with, as the Bill of Rights will be meaningless in this type of government rule of the Antichrist and the false prophet. There won't be a constitution. It'll be follow the leader. Follow the leader. Revelation says that the redeemed bear a seal in their foreheads. The seal consists of the names of God and the Lamb and shows that these redeemed belong to God. We learned that in chapter 14. Then we look down that these 144,000 that are sealed are males. There's no females in there. It's all males and they're all virgins. They've never been married. They've never been with women. They are pure. 12,000 from each tribe of Israel. What's their job? They have one task, to witness of the Lamb, capital L, to be a witness for the Lamb, to share the gospel so that people can come to saving faith in Jesus Christ. This world is going to be in chaos. These people who receive Jesus Christ will die for their faith. Some people can't abide by that. Some people cannot stand up for Jesus Christ and say, no, I will not do that. I will not participate with this event because this event goes against my Savior. And so I won't do that. Some people can't do that. They have to say yes to everything. These people say no to Antichrist. They say no to the devil. They say no to the false prophet. And they're sealed by God. And they are faithful and they are rewarded, Revelation 14. They're found at Mount Zion. What a picture is given. Last page. What the mark will be. This is just a review. Number one, the mark will be identification of the person and his name. That's what the mark will be. It will identify with Antichrist. The actual number 666, not merely a representation. It will be a visible mark, like a tattoo. You know, we used to talk about how the implants and things of that nature, that's not necessary anymore. Anybody ever heard of a QR code? That could be just like stamped on there, has every information you could possibly ever want to put, connect you to it. So there's all kinds of things. It doesn't have to be some type of an implant. It can simply be a mark, a laser tattoo put on the skin or whatever. It's visible, it's seen. It means you're identified with the Antichrist in the hand or in the forehead. Visible to the naked eye. It will be on you, not necessarily in you. That's my point. Recognized and therefore not questioned. And see the mark? You're not questioned. If you don't have the mark, you're rounded up and you're martyred for your if you choose to reject the seal. Voluntary, not involuntary, thus given without deception. People will voluntarily line up to get the mark. It's used after the rapture of the church, not before. It's used in the second half of the tribulation. Now, this is important to see. There's this buildup in the first 3.5 years to this mark. There's the preparation and the buildup for 3.5 years, and then it comes about as he turns against Israel. And then everybody has to receive this mark. So there is the first 3.5 years, this preparation, this moving to what's going to take place in the world in the second half of the tribulation. It's needed to buy, sell, and trade, the black market, and personal sales would end as we know it, and that will probably end before that time. What are they pushing for? Digital currency. No cash. Do you know how many billions of dollars are lost to federal governments all around the world because of yard sales? Yard sales. Hey, if we can do away with that, no cash sales. We don't have cash anymore. We go to digital. That way everything's recorded and therefore everything is taxed. So the government's got the revenue coming in. So no more black market, no more personal sales with cash. Trade, things of that nature, it will be known. Universally received by non-Christians, but universally rejected by Christians. That's the truth of the seal. Christians will reject those that are saved during that time. It will show forth worship and allegiance to Antichrist, and it is promoted by the false prophet, and the destiny of all receiving the mark will be eternal punishment in the lake of fire. Here in history, we see that the day and age of grace has been prominent. God, in His mercy, has been gracious. He gives you up to the very last minute of your breath to call upon His name. But if you take the mark of the beast at this time in history, there will be no grace for you. Everybody understand that? Nod your head, you understand? There will be no grace for those that take the mark of the beast. They are doomed. Look at the passages over and over again. If you take the mark, you will go to the lake of fire. Now, during the age of grace, you can murder, you can sin, and then turn to the Father, and He will redeem you if you believe on His name. Repent of your sin and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. He's gracious and good. But if you take that mark, there's no grace for you. The day and age of grace will come to a conclusion when the rapture takes place. Now, God and His grace will save people, but it'll be a different ministration of grace. That grace will be to save, but not to preserve your human life, because you're going to die. That's the point of Revelation. I hope and pray in this study that there's been some understanding of the things that are falling into place right now. They're falling into place. And we're seeing a little more clearly than we did just 20 years ago or 30 years ago how all these things can happen. And it can be done without some kind of a surgical procedure to implant something in your body. It can be done with a quick laser etching. Boom. And they got every bit of information in that. We're not old school anymore. Things have caught up technology-wise. And we're moving as a world toward digital currency, which will play easily into the hands of Antichrist. And you will not be able to buy, sell, trade, do any kind of business without their knowledge of it taking place. So, do we live in fear when we see these things? We've got to stop the digital dollar! I always scratch my head when I hear people, we've got to stop all of these things from happening. You can't stop what God says is going to happen. You just be ready for the trumpet sound. Amen? Be ready for that. Don't be spending all your time, we've got to stop all this stuff from happening. It won't be stopped. It will happen just like God says in His Word. There will be an Antichrist that rises forth from the sea. There will be a false prophet that rises up out of the earth. And they will do their horrors because they are empowered by the third individual, and that's Satan. May God help us to live for Him in the time that we have here on this earth. And may we be faithful witnesses for Jesus Christ so that as many souls as we can reach can come to faith in Jesus Christ. Father in heaven, I thank You so much for Your Word. Lord, You've shared so many things with us in Your Word. Help us to be alert. Help us to be watching for Your return. Help us not to be so rooted in this earth that it would be a disappointment to us if You came back. Because we've got all these things planned that we're going to do. Lord, help us to realize that those things may not be done. You may come back tonight. And what a glorious thing that would be. Lord, we want Your will performed on this earth, even as it is in heaven. That's how You told us to pray. You told the disciples to pray that Your will would be done on earth, even as it is in heaven. And that's what we desire today, tomorrow, and into the future. Help us, Father, to be submissive to Your word, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.